Welcome into the Beer Cave. Today I have the one, the only Rose Bowl hockey out of Southern California. I'll let you guys introduce yourselves, but I think that was a pretty good intro.
Yeah, that's good. I'm Brian with Rose Bowl Hockey.
And we have David with Rose Bowl Hockey.
Nice.
And where are you actually located?
We're in Southern California. Rose Bowl Hockey in general is just from Pasadena, California. We're located all over the place. We're all over Southern California these days.
Perfect. And what got you guys into hockey?
Want me to go first, Dave?
Sure, yeah.
All right. I got into hockey when I was about 12 years old, I would say, when Gretzky came to the Kings, actually. And I remember being 12 years old, and for whatever reason, I actually had a cable box in my bedroom as a 12-year-old. So we had the old Prime Ticket channel that the Kings were on. And so when Gretzky came, that was like the hot thing. And I remember flipping through television one day, and I saw hockey, and it was a game between the Kings and the Calgary Flames. And there was a big brawl, big bench-clearing brawl. There was just, I remember just gloves and sticks and gear just all over the ice, and people were fighting. And it was a thing that seemed to last like a good 10 minutes. And as a 12-year-old, of course, you're attracted to something like that. And from that point on is when I started watching hockey regularly. And of course, you know, again, Gretzky was like the thing. And so watching Gretzky and McSorley and Granato, like all those old Kings, it was just, as a kid, it was just something that I was immediately attracted to and just started watching whenever I saw it flipping the channels. So that's how I fell in love with the sport.
So would you say that the Kings are your favorite team then?
They are. I mean, growing up in Los Angeles, yeah, I mean, the Kings are my favorite team. And again, because of Gretzky, I know you're a Sharks fan, right?
So, yes. Uh-oh. Yeah.
I just had to ask, because sometimes people flip-flop. You might be a...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, no, I've always been a Kings fan. I was like 12 years old when I first got into it. I didn't actually pick up a full-size hockey stick for probably another year after that, you know, got my first street hockey stick. But what's funny is my very first hockey stick ever was a mini Calgary Flames stick, like a little tiny one that I got. And at the time they were actually out of King sticks. So of course, because of that whole bench clearing brawl that I saw as a kid with the Flames, I thought, okay, I'll grab a Flames stick. So I have this little tiny Calgary Flames stick to this day. So that's my first hockey stick ever, really.
Well, that's pretty adorable.
So, yeah, it's kind of...
Yeah. And so, when I got into hockey, so the way that I got in was, for my fifth birthday, my parents bought me a pair of inline roller skates. Being in SoCal, you know, ice hockey skates were, you know, a thing you take to the hockey rink, but inline skates are something you can do anytime. And I don't remember it very well, but according to my dad, he said, put the skates on me and, you know, tried to help me. And I kind of pushed him away and started skating on my own right away. And by that afternoon, I was jumping broomsticks and stuff. And right away, my dad was like, maybe we'll take him out of soccer and baseball and all that and let him give hockey a try. And pretty much when I was, I've been playing hockey since I was 5 years old, and just fell in love with the sport right away. Anytime, you know, I could get outside and play either just skate or play street hockey, you know, all my free time was pretty much playing hockey outside, you know, in the driveway. And later on, I was lucky enough to live on a street where there was probably six or seven other kids that also like playing hockey. And so mostly playing street hockey growing up all the time, every weekend, you know, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 kids were outside on the street playing hockey together. And it was great, you know, and been playing ever since. I've had a couple breaks here and there going into adulthood, but still going strong to this day. So and as far as like favorite team, when I was little, my favorite guy was Steve Yzerman on the Red Wings. I loved watching him play, and I was a huge Red Wings fan until my pops brainwashed me and got me onto the LA Kings bandwagon when I started growing up. So I still like the Red Wings, but Kings are my number one team too, like Brian. So
nice. Did you have a cul-de-sac or did you have to like Wayne's World it?
No, it was a cul-de-sac. I'm like looking back on it, I'm like so happy that that was the environment that I grew up in. It was like pretty much, I mean, you know, we played other stuff too, like, you know, softball and stuff like that up out front. But most of the time, you know, my parents got me a couple of hockey nets and we're out there until the sun went down playing street hockey. So yeah, it was great. Great times for sure.
I had the same thing as a kid. Like I obviously lived in Tahoe, so it was a lot colder, but like during the summer, we would always play like street hockey and like roller hockey. And like, luckily my neighborhood had a cul-de-sac. So like, we didn't have to worry about resetting up nets and we just would leave stuff out. So it was kind of nice, but like everybody had their bikes like all around it. So it was just like, most of the time we'd have to like, the parents would have to like come yell at us to move all of our crap out of the way.
Yeah.
So where do you guys currently play? You said all over, but do you have like a distinct rink or multiple rinks?
Well, for me, I've been playing quite a bit of roller hockey these past years. You know, ice hockey, I never really played a lot of beer league ice hockey. I played a lot of pickup games kind of in years past. These days, I play a lot of roller hockey. And I actually met Dave at the Corona Inline Rinks facility over in Corona, California. And I met Dave about 3 years ago, I would say, and him and I were on a team together, and that's kind of how we met. But that's kind of where I've been playing most of my roller hockey in recent years.
Yeah, same goes for me. Most of the time I'm playing in Corona these days. Occasionally, there's another rink in West Covina. We actually have a tournament next week in West Covina, but these days it's mostly Corona Inline. Sometimes I'll drop in on a pickup ice hockey game down there in Lakewood. I think the rinks organization owns that. Used to be called like Ice Palace or something like that, I think. But yeah, Lakewood, California. And yeah, mostly Corona and West Covina these days.
Do you both play ice and roller since you were young, or was it mainly just roller and then you tried ice hockey, or how did that go about?
For me, I honestly didn't actually start playing any sort of hockey until my mid-20s. Was really, you know, unfortunately, hockey in the 90s, it was, I don't even know how popular it really was, but I mean, none of my friends played hockey, any sort of roller hockey, ice hockey. We just did, you know, the normal flag football, soccer type stuff. But so I didn't really have any friends that played hockey. It was always just me out in my driveway with my stick, tennis ball, and my dog. That was like the extent of hockey for me growing up. And honestly, it wasn't until, you know, I came across on the internet, a web forum where somebody was talking about roller hockey over at the Rose Bowl. And that's actually when I first tried hockey in general, was with the guys over at the Rose Bowl. So.
Yeah. And then I started playing roller hockey when I was little. Like I said, I was about 5 years old. In an actual league, it was probably started playing inline when I was six at this rink that doesn't exist anymore that used to be in Laverne, California. But I tried out ice for the first time when I was in middle school, and just house league, nothing too fancy. And I played up until probably a sophomore in high school. And at that point I was playing on a couple different roller teams. And so I kind of stepped away from ice and then got back into it. Playing pickup games down in Lakewood, probably in my early 20s, been on and off since then.
Awesome. And then where did the name Rose Bowl come from? Obviously from most of us in California, we know why, but where did you actually get it and what is the community like?
Rose Bowl, I mean, the reason we're called Rose Bowl hockey is because we play hockey at the Rose Bowl Stadium in Pasadena. Just out, of course, not inside the Rose Bowl, but outside in the parking lots. And that's kind of where the game first started. And so that's where obviously the name comes from. pretty simple and straightforward, Rose Bowl and hockey. So, but you know, I don't know the historical background of the Rose Bowl. I don't know much about the stadiums. I know the stadium has been around for like 100 years, something like that, over 100 years.
Something crazy.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, it just kind of makes sense. We play hockey at the Rose Bowl, and, you know, we honestly, I don't think they adopted or we adopted any sort of name up until, you know, social media became a thing and the internet. You know, we used Yahoo groups to kind of communicate with each other back in the day, which Yahoo groups I don't even think exist anymore. And so, you know, we had to give our page a title. So we just called it Rose Bowl Hockey. And then that's just kind of, you know, it just kind of stuck over the years.
Do they keep the like asphalt pretty like smooth?
As of late, yeah. They actually, during the pandemic, since, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of people out and about, so they just recently resurfaced it. So it's pretty nice now. It's real nice and smooth. But before that, there was a lot of cracks, a lot of loose gravel and stuff. But it was okay. You know, we made do with what we had, and the pucks that we use work really well out there. So yeah, no problem. But these days, yeah, it's great. The asphalt is real smooth, and the, you know, allows us to skate almost like ice, really. So it's
good.
That's
pretty impressive. Just because, yeah, like when I moved to San Diego, like we had Qualcomm, but you were not skating on that unless you had like balls of steel pretty much, because you're going to lose everything because it was so road rashy.
Yeah. You know, what's kind of crazy is like, for me, playing roller hockey just in general, you know, outside on asphalt, you'd think would be kind of scary, but you know, if you wear the shin, you know, the shin pads and the elbow pads, like I do, a lot of people don't, but I do, you get confident pretty quick. So, you know, and then when you make that transition over to ice hockey, you know, ice is hard, right? Like if you fall on ice, it hurts. You could get, you know, you could hurt your tailbone pretty bad, but as long as you got the gear, you know, you're fearless out there. So.
Definitely. That was going to be one of my questions. How hard was the transition from one to the other? Cause I know some people say that roller's harder to do if you've tried ice. And then I've heard people say that going from ice to roller is super hard. Like for me, like asphalt is terrifying. So I lose all of my like fearlessness as soon as asphalt comes into play.
For me. Yeah. I mean, for me, the transition from roller to ice is tough even to this day. I mean, I get real, I'm comfortable on wheels. And so that transition is pretty tough. You know, everything's a little bit different. Stopping's different, that sort of thing. But Dave might feel different about it.
Yeah, I initially when I was a teenager, it wasn't too hard of a transition, I guess. But like nowadays, I definitely notice if I play, you know, ice a couple times without playing roller in between, when I come back to roller, it's weird. And conversely, if I'm playing a lot of roller and then I go play an ice game, it's weird. So it was a lot easier to do when I was younger, but it still, you know, the muscle memory stays with you. At least if you're playing both somewhat regularly, I feel like it's not too hard to transition back and forth. And it seems like whenever I went and played a lot of ice hockey and didn't play roller for a couple weeks or even like a month or two, I noticed that it's almost like the puck is so much heavier in ice that when you come back to roller, your shot improves a lot just by playing ice, because you're used to shooting something that's like, what do you think, Brian, 2 or 3 times heavier than a roller puck?
Yeah.
So yeah. I always thought of it like, you know, you see guys warming up in the MLB with that huge weight on their bat and then they take it off and go hit a home run. I feel like it's kind of similar to that when you go back to inline hockey after playing ice for a while.
That's a good point. You know, yeah. Dave's right. Like for whatever reason, I can't shoot ice hockey pucks as well as I can shoot a roller puck. You know, I like to think I have a nice snappy shot, but when it comes to ice, it just doesn't translate over to ice as well. And you know, my shots just aren't as hard as I'd like them to be. So it's a good point.
That's awesome. As far as, because I've never actually played in like competitive or like on a team for roller. I do understand that, you know, the gear is a lot less, like you don't have shoulder pads and stuff like that. But I do, from what I do know, that most people do play on like indoor rinks that are actually really nice, not just like tennis courts. So no. Could you explain that a little to us non-inliners?
I'll let Dave take this one. You can talk about the gear.
Yeah. So, as far as gear, I'd say like you had mentioned, not many people wear shoulder pads in roller or inline, especially in like those leagues on like sport court, setups. As far as like the rest of the gear, you know, some people wear girdles, some don't, everybody wears shin pads and, elbow pads, or sometimes people don't wear them, but, that can end badly depending on what kind of league you're playing in. So, yeah. And as far as like the actual layout of the rink, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, but I think like an official sized inline rink isn't quite as big as like, an NHL sized, ice rink, and certainly not anywhere near as big as like an Olympic sized ice rink. So yeah, it's a little bit smaller. I think you have a little bit less room behind the net than like an NHL rink. And I think it's a little shorter, but, as far as like playing on that compared to like playing on, like a tennis court or even like finished concrete, playing on sport court is a whole different, experience. You know, you have to get specific wheels for sport court. You can't use outdoor wheels or you'll be sliding around. And, that being said, it's a lot easier if you have a nice wheel set up to, you know, hold an edge when you're making tight turns and hockey stops and things like that, on a sport court surface rather than pretty much any kind of outdoor surface. So, you know, there's a huge difference between, you know, playing ice hockey and skating on ice to, you know, playing outdoor roller. And then there's, in my opinion, a pretty huge difference too between playing outdoor roller and then playing on an actual sport court rink with boards and glass and netting and, you know, nets that are actually regulation size and all that. So hope that was a good explanation.
Yeah. Super helpful. Is it also true too that, goalie pads are a little less intense for roller, or is that hearsay?
I would say like at a competitive level, I would say that's hearsay. A lot of goalies that I know, I would say most goalies that I know that play competitively in the roller or inline scene have the same exact pads that, you know, they would use on ice. And in fact, I've seen this product that came out a couple of years ago that it kind of, it's like ball bearings, like a bunch of ball bearings that attach to like a piece of plastic that then attaches to the inside of their leg pads. And it allows them to slide around as if they're on ice. And I've heard mixed reviews about them, but I've seen some pretty skilled guys use those before, and it's almost like watching an ice goalie, and they're using the same, you know, muscle groups and kind of the same, they look like an ice goalie out there when it comes down to it. So wow. Yeah, I would say it's pretty much the same setup for competitive roller as it is for ice for a goalie.
That's awesome. I didn't realize it had come that far. I mean, it makes sense. The sport has come so far too. So like since we were kids.
Right. Definitely.
I think you can get away with like non ice roller pad, like for a goalie, you know, I mean, you're a goalie, right? So
yeah,
with roller, because the puck isn't as heavy, I think you can get away with kind of lesser quality pads, perhaps if you're a goalie, like I'm talking like
yeah.
the street hockey type goalie pads, you know, you could probably get away with it. It's not ideal. They're typically a little smaller, like the leg pads and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, if somebody were to ask me, you know, what do you recommend? Should I get full size ice gear or, you know, stuff that's less expensive, you know, street hockey type gear, then I would probably say, no, just stick with the ice. You know, it's nicer just overall.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Especially in like an organized league, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome. And then as far as regular leagues go, does it have the same, like everyone I've talked to and everywhere I've been, it has different levels, but like, do they have like bronze to, you know, gold levels, or do they do like letters? Like, And then where do you guys fall as far as it goes?
Yeah, it's exactly that. You know, you've got your bronze, silver, gold, platinum type levels. And it seems like the names of the divisions vary depending on the rink that you're playing at. But, you know, I think it's all pretty much in line with ice hockey. You know, you've got your bronze, you know, bronze level guys who are probably more like your weekend warriors, just want to get out, you know, drink some beer with the guys and that sort of thing. And then you've got your more competitive silver level, gold, you know, but it's, yeah, I think it's pretty much the same. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, but I think that's. Yeah.
No, from what I've seen in like ice, you know, in-house ice leagues and in-house roller leagues, it's pretty much the same as far as, yeah, bronze, silver, gold, platinum, et cetera. And, you know, sometimes they might kind of change the names around a little bit, but it's pretty easy to figure out, you know, intermediate C, intermediate B, novice, advanced. It's kind of, you know, it's in line with what the same kind of structure that ice hockey house leagues have as well.
And then what do you guys currently play in?
Where do we play, Dave?
I would say, you know, like, for instance, the Saturday league that that we've played in together, I'd say that's like an intermediate B or like a silver division. And that's pretty much what I've stuck to for the past couple of years for house league. It's usually a good time, nothing too crazy going on. And everybody's out there to have a good time.
That's awesome. Yeah. Do you see your fair share of sandbagging? Like we do in regular hockey, do you see people playing down just to make themselves feel better, or is it pretty well monitored?
It depends
on the rink.
it depends on the rink. I do want to give a shout out to West Covina that they probably have the best anti-sandbagging policies in any division or rink or facility that I've ever played at. They're really good at monitoring who's playing in what division and making sure that, you know, high skill guys that don't belong there aren't allowed to play in a lower division. So as far as sandbagging goes, you know, you see that, I feel like you see that, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, or if you think differently, you see like sandbagging occur more often at like a tournament or, you know, something that maybe a lot of different teams from a lot of different places are coming to play. It's more prevalent than like house leagues, because most of the time I feel like rink managers, at least locally, are good at monitoring that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, it's reasonable, the guys that are playing in these divisions.
Yeah. I think, you know, when I was younger, I feel like I saw a lot of sandbagging maybe 10 years ago, you know, when I was playing. You know, I played, you know, beer league over at West Covina quite a bit 10 years ago. And every once in a while you'd get these kids that are, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, you know, they weigh 130 pounds and they just fly all over the rink. And I remember, you know, being relatively new at hockey at the time, it was frustrating to see these kids in what's supposed to be like a bronze division, you know. But you know, Dave's right. You know, the West Covina rink does a pretty good job staying on top of that stuff. You know, they try and they don't. What's nice is they work with you on your roster. You know, for example, we've got that tournament coming up in another week, and you know, we had a phone call a couple of days ago about our rosters and, you know, about the skill level and stuff. But what's nice is they work with you a bit. So that's what's nice about that rink in West Covina. The other roller hockey rinks, you know, it's kind of just seems more like a free for all. Even the beer league stuff, you know, if you're in a lower bronze type division, that, you know, every week you might have, you know, these young skilled kids out there flying around the rink and stuff. And it's kind of a bummer, you know. Now at my age now, I'm just like, whatever, you know, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But, you know, it is what it is. It's just, In the higher divisions, not so much. You know, everybody's real good in the higher divisions, so it just doesn't stand out as much, but doesn't seem to be an issue up there too much.
Well, you know, we just hear about like maroon and like, you know, NHL players playing in like, you know, roller leagues and their time off, and it's just like I would just hate to show up and just see one of them there. Like, it'd be cool to take shots against them, but like, man, would that make you feel devastated as a player? But I mean, I guys probably have pickups and stuff too that like you get all mixed levels, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and honestly, the kind of the cool thing about the, about Rose Bowl hockey, you know, playing outside on the asphalt, you get guys of all different skill levels. And we've had a couple of roller hockey pros out there with us, and it's not really intimidating. It's more fun because the guys in general are just really cool, really nice guys, very down to earth, humble. They know, you know, I think they know they're better than everybody else, but they're there just to have fun like we are. And so those games end up being a lot of fun to play with them and even against them to kind of see, you know, you try and play hard against them, but at the end of the day, you really don't have any chance against these like pro roller hockey players. Like, come on. But I do have a friend, my friend Melissa, shout out to Melissa. She actually played against Max Comtois. Is that how you pronounce his last name?
I think so.
Played against him in Corona during, I think it was during the summer. He played there and she was playing on the team against him. So she got to play against him. I think that's super cool. And I wish I was out there. I don't think I would have been intimidated. I would have been more excited just to play with an NHL pro. Like,
same here. Yeah. I'd probably be hyped more than anything if there was an NHL player on an inline rink, even if, you know, even if we got like mercied or something 10-0, I'd probably be like, oh man, I tell you about the time I got mercied by an NHL player. Like, that's cool.
It'd be like a bragging rights story.
I would. Yeah, I think so.
Awesome. How do you feel the injuries go in roller? Do you feel like it's less intimidating, or do you feel like it's more intimidating than ice? How do you guys feel about the IR of it all?
I think, well, I mean, in general, I mean, hitting isn't, you don't see as much hitting in roller hockey. It's really not, it's part of the game. You know, I think the aggressive play, playing the body, but you don't see like the big body checks like you would in more like competitive ice hockey. It's just not part of the game down there. It's more of a finesse sport, if you want to call it that. But, you know, guys do bump pretty good, especially in the pro divisions. If you go watch those upper skilled guys in the pros, they bump each other pretty good and stuff, but you don't see these like open ice type, you know, hits or anything like that. But, you know, as far as injuries go, you know, I've been pretty fortunate over the years not to got, you know, I've never gotten too injured. I did break my, what's that?
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. Yeah. I did break my ankle playing roller hockey back in 2007, and that sucked, but it was a very humbling experience. I knew that I can't just go flying around the rink like I used to, at that age. But you know, fractured thumb, you know, little things like that ever since. So nothing too crazy. You know, I've been pretty fortunate as far as the injuries go.
Yeah, same here. I haven't had too many injuries over the years either, knock on wood too, but like Brian was saying, it's definitely not as, you know, competitive inline is nowhere near as physical as like competitive ice hockey. And, you know, I haven't seen too many really bad injuries over the years in inline hockey. I've seen a couple, you know, torn ACLs and stuff like that. But nothing from like, you know, a dirty play or anything like that. You might see in ice hockey. Seen a couple guys, you know, take a puck off the chin and stuff like that. And that's always pretty bad. And, you know, that's the risk you run if you're not wearing a full cage. But aside from that, I haven't been injured and I haven't seen too many bad injuries. So hopefully keep that streak going.
Yeah, for sure. In roller, because here, just coming from Southern California, coming to Texas, they have the Gretzky rule here where, you know, the single player can only score 3 goals throughout the entire game. Does that exist in roller or the leagues that you play in or tournaments? Or is that a non thing just like in San Diego?
I don't think it exists. I've honestly, I mean, I've heard that happening before in certain certain rink facilities, but I don't think that's a thing at any of the rinks that we play at around.
That's actually the first time that I've ever heard of that rule. I'm not really familiar with it. That's interesting though.
I think for it kind of makes sense for like youth leagues, maybe, you know, if there's a really good, you know, 10-year-old on a team that's just lighting people up, you know, that kind of makes sense. You know, 3-goal rule. Okay, kid, you can't score anymore. But yeah, for an adult league or especially a beer league, I think that would be kind of lame.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't find it out until I was in a tournament and like one of like the better girls had scored 3 goals. And then we went into shootout and she couldn't participate in the shootout. And we're like, but the game's over. And we were like, she should be able to play again. And like, they told us no. And they're like Gretzky rule. And it was just like, okay, good to know for next game. Like we'll save her.
Wow. Okay. Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. Definitely.
Oh, okay. Is this just ice hockey rule, or is this a roller hockey rule? Where you
The guys that I talked to in New York said that it was a roller hockey rule for them too. But I think it's just mainly to like prevent the sandbagging of it all. I feel like it, you know, it's one of those deterrents is probably the best way to say it. Like, you know, it keeps people being honest.
So if they score 3 goals, they can't play at all anymore the rest of the game?
They can play. But they just cannot like shoot or, you know,
pass the puck. Okay. Yeah, that's cool. I think that's fair. Why not?
Yeah. It's good to know.
Won't be so surprising if it ever does happen.
Yeah. Do you guys get crazy beer league names too? Or do you guys keep it kind of simple in roller or...
Oh yeah.
There's some funny name. Yeah. What are some of your team names, Dave? Dave plays quite a bit.
Yeah. So like one of the teams that I'm on right now, the team name is Wheel Snipe Selly. And then I've seen a couple other ones too, like puns and stuff. Kind of drawing a blank right now, but I know in Corona there are quite a few teams that are, you know, pretty funny names.
Yeah. The very first team I played on down in Corona when I started playing there, we were called the Selfie Sticks. And it was a team with, I knew most of the people on the team, you know, real fun group. And the team was actually, I think, put together to drink. It was just to get together every Tuesday, do some drinking, play a little hockey. And the team was called the Selfie Sticks. And so I jumped on the team. It was a lot of fun. And our team was actually really good. And so I always thought it was kind of funny, you know, being called the Selfie Sticks and then just wrecking other teams, you know, week after week. And we ended up winning, I think, 2 championships in a row, but it was just always funny. You know, being the other team, I would hate to be beaten by a team called the Selfie Sticks. So I thought that was a funny name.
I mean, with that name, you would just assume that you guys are selfish. Like...
Selfish or just like taking pictures of ourselves, exactly.
Or that, yeah. For sure. I just feel like being the 90s kid of it all, that I totally would have been like Team Pub and Suds or whatever it's called from Brink.
The Disney Channel movie. Right?
Yeah. And it's, you know, he wears this color that I'm wearing, the, you know, royal blue of it all. So it's kind of fun. Do you guys have preference in skates? Like I am Bauer all the way every day. But I know that there's a ton of good ones out there, but are you particular to, are you loyal, brand loyal, should I say?
I am. And the only reason I'm brand loyal is because the skates fit the best on my feet. So I'm a Bauer guy. I have pretty slender feet, not weird, but
just delicate. I guess
the Bauer Vapor skates in general, they you know, people with narrower feet, that's the word I was looking for, narrow feet tend to like the Bauer skates. I've tried Mission roller hockey skates before, didn't like them. You know, they were comfortable, but there's issues with them I won't go into. But yeah, I've been playing with Bauer ever since, and you know, No problems with Bauer, so I just keep using them.
Yeah, I was Bauer for a long time for ice and roller. And then recently I tried some missions out, and I don't know, the missions for roller, they fit better than the Bowers did for roller. And it's weird because I'm sure it's probably the same boot, but I don't know, something about missions has been good for me in roller, but still going Bower and ice.
Have you guys tried the Mars Blades?
I have not.
I have not either. And I do the social media for Rose Bowl Hockey, so I get all the DMs. And we actually do get a lot of people asking about Mars Blades, if we've tried them. And that's and if they're, you know, if they're legit, you know, should I get some? So so you know, it's not using them, it's hard for me to recommend them or not.
Yeah.
But I actually just tell people, you know, look at the pro roller hockey players. If they're using them, great. I think the Mars Blade chassis is real popular right now. So I think people are mounting the Mars Blade chassis onto Bower boots, Mission boots, you know, CCM boots. So I think the chassis is probably more popular than the boot itself, because I hear that the boot is real heavy. I don't know if that is true or not, since I've never used them. Ice hockey players like Mars Blades, though. They swear by them. They think that that rocking chassis that they have is very similar, feels very similar to, you know, like an ice hockey skate in general. So they like them. So
that's been the rumors.
That's the rumor. I mean, that's just what I hear. So.
And do you guys bake your skates, or do you believe in breaking them in the old fashioned way?
100% bake for me.
Yeah, I bake as well. I tried not to bake one time and it was fine. It was with the mission skates I had. It was recommended for me to just break them in naturally. So I tried to break them in naturally and it was fine. It wasn't too uncomfortable, but the boot itself was so stiff. It was a little painful, but I didn't have the skates that long. I think after a couple of months, I ended up switching back to Bower skates anyway.
Since this is a podcast called Goalie Locks and the Three Beers, of course we have to talk about the three beers, the good, bad, and the ugly. So the first one is your favorite beer.
My favorite beer. Okay. Let me think. My favorite beer. So I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a big beer drinker.
That's okay.
Yeah. I like mixed drinks, cocktails and stuff, but, okay. Favorite beer. I like light beers, you know, I would say, let me think. Dave, go ahead. I'll come back to me.
Well, my answer is going to be, I don't drink. So, not a good response from me.
Did you drank back in the day? I mean, everybody probably drank back in the day, right?
Yeah, I'll say, okay. So for that matter, I'll say back in the day would be like an ice cold Stella after a long day, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I would probably say like Modelo, Negra Modelo, the darker one.
Yeah.
Is probably, that's a good beer. I would probably say that's my favorite.
Then your least favorite beer or drink of choice? Ooh. What's your least favorite? Probably all of them for you.
yeah, I would say my least favorite drink of choice would be Fireball. Just bad Oof. Memories. I just, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough, man. Least favorite beer for me is probably any IPA. It's just too flowery and just a whole lot of flavor going on. A little much for me.
That makes sense. We've heard it a bunch of times. And then your favorite after play beer or drink, I guess.
For me, it's probably something like Rolling Rock, you know, something light, refreshing. I think that's a good choice.
I think for me, it would have been the same, probably an ice cold Stella.
Yeah, something light, right?
Yeah.
You want a big old heavy beer after playing? some people do, you know, like break out the Guinness, you know, but.
I can't go that heavy after play, but yeah.
I can't. An light IPA, beer is cool.
Normally it's a light beer and then followed by an IPA, depending on how long we're going to hang out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
So because I am trying to keep it beer local. I got a Danny Trejo beer because obviously you guys are in LA and he's like the king of LA. It's a great Mexican lager. I definitely would keep it in my cooler for hockey games. Plus nice. The can looks really cool. And it says the nectar of the Mexican gods. So now I know what Mexican gods taste like. So that's pretty exciting.
Nice. I'll try anything.
I mean, Danny is one of my favorite actors. So I had to try the beer, and being as you guys are in LA-ish area, I had to keep it local. Now we get into the punny dad joke stuff, which is what I'm really into. So the first question is, do you koozie?
I have koozies.
But if you're drinking a cold beverage, do you have a koozie on it consistently or no?
I don't keep one in my back pocket. I actually do know people that keep one in their pocket at all times and they will break it out, but I'm not that guy.
Yeah, I definitely koozie guy for sure. I like having a koozie on anything cold that I'm drinking. Absolutely.
I keep one in my bag and now I have this sweet Stubbies one. So it's definitely in my bag in my car. So even though sometimes I'm like, you shouldn't be drinking a beer that slow, but it is what it is. The next one is my favorite because it's a little inappropriate. And we're going to talk about head. Do you like head on your beer? Or when you did have beer?
No.
Definitely not.
Me no, either. Minimal yeah. head.
Yeah, minimal head. That's same here.
And then to go along with that question, I've been asking everybody, as far as helmet wear, do you go visor, full cage, or nothing at all?
These days for me. Oh, go ahead, Dave.
No, you go first, Brian. You go first.
I do full cage now. I've seen a lot of really gross stuff in years past. When I first started, it was just a visor. You know, visor looks cool. You know, but I've seen pucks to teeth and sticks to teeth, and it's gross. So I tell people now, just, I don't know. Like, obviously you can't see as well with a cage, but if you can do it, just do it, because, you know, anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 worth of dental work is just not worth it.
Yeah, if that is probably yeah. more depending.
It might be, but shoot.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty gnarly stuff happen too. I've seen somebody take an ice hockey puck to the jaw, and he didn't have a cage. I think he was wearing a visor, but currently I'm not wearing anything. I was wearing a visor for a long time, pretty much right when I turned 18, I put a visor on my helmet because I could. And then probably 6 months or a year ago, I took that off just because it got really annoying, like trying to keep it clean during a game and all those anti-fog sprays. I haven't found one that works yet. So right now I'm not rocking a cage or a visor, knock on wood, but I do wear I use a mouth guard at all times when I'm playing. I won't not wear a mouth guard unless I have a cage on, which I never do. So I'm always rocking a mouth guard.
Do the leagues there have any requirements? Like, do you have to wear a helmet even? Like, is that even a rule?
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely have to wear a helmet. The leagues that I play in, they're pretty much, if you have the helmet, you have to wear a helmet, and then visor and cage are optional. But I know a couple other rinks in the area do require visor minimum. And if you don't have one, they literally make you put like safety glasses on while you're out there.
Interesting. Okay. And then now I normally like to open the floor to you guys, give yourselves the shameless plug where people can follow you on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I don't know what you guys do, but, and then anything that you guys have coming up that maybe people can be a part of.
Yeah. I do the social media. So of course we've got lots of stuff. We've got a website, www.rosebowlhockey.com. We're also on Instagram at Rose Bowl Hockey, and also Facebook. I think it's just facebook.com/Rose Bowl Hockey. Everything's Rose Bowl Hockey. And we also have a Twitter as well. Everything's all linked together. So if we post one thing, it kind of is plastered all over the different platforms. Oh, we have a TikTok too, but I don't really do much with it. I don't dance, which is, seems like a lot of people just do dancing and stuff, but, yeah, it's just some video clips and stuff, but we do have it. So we're trying to get cool with the kids.
I feel like for most teams, it's not really dances. It's more like entering the rink or like, you know, like short clips of it all together and like, or just like game day, like pump up music, really.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. You know, I've been trying to figure out ways to use TikTok more and that sort of thing. But it seems like game days, everyone's just kind of, you know, everyone gets stressed. They hit the rink, you know, phones are kind of like an afterthought. You know, for me, I throw my phone in my hat. I throw it, you know, on the bench and I don't really see it the rest of the game. So I should, though. I should be better. I need to be better.
That's awesome. Do you guys actually have locker rooms?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just get dressed in your car? Or...
there are locker rooms in every rink that I've played in for inline. There's locker rooms. Although during when hockey was first coming back from COVID, we didn't have access to locker rooms. So we were getting dressed outside, which the only downside of that was you got to roll into the rink over the asphalt, and that just really chews up those soft wheels for the sport court. So that was kind of a bummer, but we're back to locker rooms now.
Does it get hot? Like, I just know because of COVID, like our locker rooms are outside, and like just trying to change and get into your gear in the sun was just brutal.
Yeah. It definitely wasn't fun. Even the locker rooms, sometimes, you know, the AC isn't great in there. So I usually try to just get outside immediately, like get undressed, get all my street clothes on, get out of that locker room. Cause it's just like 130% humidity in there after the game. Like, get me out of here, please. I just want to breathe.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for taking the time out. I know that it's not easy, especially with time changes, with time differences, but I appreciate both of you being here and explaining more than you probably needed to, but I do appreciate both of you coming on and explaining and telling me about your amazing journey to this community that we are in. Definitely go check them out at Rose Bowl. Hockey, everything, everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for having us. This was fun.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Cheers, and we'll see you at the next game.